world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico till 10 o'clock, till 1 a.m. out east, and good of you to be with us here. We have a short week, of course, with Thanksgiving ahead, and I went and took a physical exam today for the television show Drunk History, and I have Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us here and talk about that, because Dr. Sadler is a doctor, and you wanted to be kept abreast of this, right?
Well, I think it's interesting, Phil, to you know, keep track of these different physical tests or physical exams that you go through, because we've often talked about your health and, you know, how far you think you're going to go. And you know, look, I think you can live as long as you want if you stay in good shape, you know.
Well, what do you mean live as long as he wants?
Just what I said.
Well, you can't live forever.
No, you can't live forever, you know.
You're talking, you can live like to be 200 or something?
I think you can live, I will answer your question the best way I know how. If you take care of yourself, you can live very many years, longer than people think they can live.
Well, look, we've had, if you don't mind me asking, we...
No, go ahead.
Who's the oldest person to have ever lived?
Methuselah?
I mean a real person, okay?
That's in the Bible.
Well, the Bible...
What?
Don't get into the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's to say, you know, somebody with a record. I mean...
Police record?
No, not a police record. Someone that we've actually kept a track of.
Well, I think, just to answer your question, Phil, I think the oldest person ever to have been recorded in terms of their age is somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 and, let's say, 120 years. Okay?
120? You're sure it's that old?
I think so.
Well, weren't there commercials that were on a while ago about yogurt or something?
Yeah, but the yogurt's supposed to make you live forever. What? You're nuts. No, there was a yogurt you eat that you live forever.
No, it's not yogurt you eat and live forever. They were saying the people of Georgia.
That's right. There's some sort of an anomalous study that says that the people in this region of Georgia, which is the Republic of Russia, live quite a long time. And they said, well, what do they do different from the rest of us? And they started looking into the living habits of the people of Georgia. And they found out, that they was eating yogurt. You know.
Well, they're eating what kind of yogurt? Is it,
Yeah, if they have fruit at the bottom.
What do you mean fruit at the bottom?
They don't eat the yogurt we eat. You mean fruit in a cup, that kind of crap?
Phil, what do you mean crap? It's the Newton's fruit.
No, they don't eat that. They don't have that.
Well, why don't they?
Because they don't make it like that over there. Those people are real. They're not people like us. They're real people.
Well, what does that mean, they're real people? In other words, they don't...
Look, Margaret, let's just accept the fact that the people of Georgia probably don't eat. If they are regular farm people, okay...
I'm not talking about Georgia like in the South.
We're not talking about Georgia, the U.S. We're talking about Georgia, Russia. If they're regular farm folk from the old country, these cats don't eat fruit-in-the-cup yogurt from Newton's. They're eating that real stuff. God knows what it is. I wouldn't even want to... You know.
Yeah, it probably tastes bad, too.
There's no question it probably has not a very good flavor to the Western taste. But the point is that they probably eat a raw form of yogurt. But I don't know if that's you know, what does it. But I think you can live a long time if you are completely and utterly conscious of your health. And my mother lived to be almost 100. My mother was 98. When she died.
Really?
Yeah. And,
What do you suppose her secret was?
Well, my mother kept in very good shape, and the other thing about my mother that I think is true about a lot of people that grow old, my mother, and I loved her very much, so please don't get me wrong, but my mother only cared about one human being in the world, and that was herself. See, she didn't care whether you lived or whether you died, and that included her own kids, her two husbands, her extended family, her mother, her father, her sisters. She had three sisters and a brother. She didn't care whether they all died tomorrow, whether they all moved to the moon. It didn't matter to her as long as there was somebody standing. Oh, boy. I'm feeling very emotional about this now.
Well, I would. I don't blame you, you know.
Well, so was she a very... She was a very cruel woman, or...
Yeah, it must have been cruel. All she cared about... Is herself.
I'm asking the doctor, excuse me, was she a cruel woman?
Oh, yeah, she's very cruel, very selfish. she was the most disgusting human being. I mean, I loved her, and she was a lot of fun, but...
Well, what do you mean she was a lot of fun? A disgusting human being, but she was a lot of fun.
I mean, she was my mother, and she would, you know, tell us a bunch of stories before we went to bed, and jazz like that, but she was a dirty boy.
Well, I don't think you loved her at all.
Don't tell me whether I love my own mother, Margaret. Yes, I did love her. Okay.
Well, a son should love a mother.
Wait, hold the phone. A son should love a mother even if she's a selfish, no-good, rotten witch?
Man, that'd be really hard to love someone like that.
Well, you know, it was, but I do. And she's dead now, thank God.
Thank God she's dead?
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, I said it. What, somebody want to cause something over that?
Well, it sounds like you want to get into a fight.
You know, if you don't think I'm entitled to my feelings, because that's what I kept saying to...
Well, look, I don't want to get into a lot of emotional issues for you.
No, it's okay. It's not like I'm going to fall apart here. But you were talking about yogurt, and naturally I thought of, you know, and then you were talking about long life, and my mother came to mind, and the reason why she lived so long is because she was a selfish... You know what? Now, it may very well be that the people in Georgia are the same way, that they live to be old because every last one of them is a selfish two-bit...
Well, you really don't want to say how you feel, do you?
No, I would, but I know I'm on the radio.
Well, what's wrong? I mean, you're going to say something dirty?
Yes, I might say something dirty. Yes, Robert. You're right.
But by the way, where is General Shaw?
Probably get a Nilla wafer.
What is it with him and the Nilla wafers?
Would you get him in here, please? All right. So let's get off of this topic. Let's talk about my general. How you doing?
Well, I'm sorry, Phil. I was just outside. I was having something to eat. I didn't know the show had started. I knew it had started, but I didn't know when I'm supposed to come in here.
When the show starts.
Oh, I see. All right.
Would that be?
Well, I knew the show started, but I didn't think that it was to a show level, you know, there where you would.
Is that General Shaw? This is Dr. Sadler. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Doctor. How are you?
Well, I'm getting into talking about my mother, who she lived to be 99, and she got to be that old because she was a dirty.
She was a dirty what?
A dirty.
Well,
See, this is what you're missing.
Yeah. All right, hold on. This is getting a little too...
It's getting kind of heavy. Aren't you here to talk to him about the...
Yeah, I want to talk... Hey, Doc, I want to talk to you about my physical today for drunk history. I want to talk to you about the overall effects of alcohol, this and that.
No. You know, I want to do that, too. But, you know, you talked about yogurt, and naturally I thought about how much I...
You thought about how much you hate your mother?
Yeah, naturally I thought about how much I hated my mother. I mean, I loved her, but I hated her, you know.
No, you said you loved her.
Look, I know what he means. I know, I understand what you mean.
Well, did you love your mother or didn't you?
I loved my mother very much. Very much. But she was a selfish, rotten, filthy, dirty...
All right, no, I understand. But you did love her.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, now that we have that finished, we will move on to our other order of business. So, yeah, I went out today. I had my physical. I'm going to talk to Dr. Sadler about taking the physical for Drunk History. It's the first TV show. Every TV show, if you do a television show, you have to take a physical because they want to make sure that you are capable of doing the work. They insure your work. But this show in particular, because you want to be in good shape, but you also want to make sure that you aren't hiring people who are, I would guess, like, have an issue with alcohol, like their liver's about to explode, or they're just a raging alcoholic, you know?
And why would... Oh, I see what you're saying, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't... Are you going to hire a guy that's got a... that has DTs?
What's that?
All right, never mind. We'll be right back here on a world-famous film. DTs is a very, very bad thing that you get when you're an alcoholic. And that's what you don't want to hire.
I would think you want to have an alcoholic.
No, you don't want to have an alcoholic, man. You don't want to have an alcoholic when you are doing anything, even Drunk History. All right, it's the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. We'll be back here with Dr. Sadler and more on living forever and how much he hates his mother. I'm kidding, Doc. Phil Henry Show. And it's It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. Dr. Jim Sadler on the line. I just found something kind of interesting. I think it's interesting to me. It's the history of tequila. And it started with a tribe called the Tequila Tribe. And the original plant that they used was a plant called the Magui plant. And I was thinking you could do a cartoon for Saturday mornings called Mr. Magui. so you don't like that, Doc?
No, that was great. It's great.
It was very good, Phil. Very clever.
Never mind. So,
well, what did you Mr. Magui, is that supposed... You're going to show that to children?
Get your... to a kid.
Well, that would be difficult.
I just,
It was a play on the word, and I know you wanted to get it out, and it didn't go over the way you wanted it to, so, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But you're right. You're not kidding about the Mr. Magui.
No, I'm not kidding. No, I am kidding about the Mr. Magui. I'm not kidding about the Magui. M-A-G-U-E-Y.
Well, what was that? Is that the... I thought it was made from the cactus.
Yeah, it's made out of agave.
They used the Magui plant first, and then they used the agave cactus. Why am I talking about tequila?
Well, I want to know about... You're going to be on the Drunk History program, which I don't know... I know the show. It's a very popular show, but I don't know the process that they go... What did they do? How did they do it?
You mean how did they make the show?
Oh, how did they... You had a physical.
Yeah, I went over. I had a physical today, and they took a panel of blood.
What's that mean?
It means they took a test tube of blood.
Yeah, they take a tube of blood, and they are going to run that. It's a liver panel. They want to see liver function. And they did a general physical, you know, checked my, my signs and all of that jazz.
Right. Well, did they do the blood pressure?
Yeah, they did blood pressure, all that stuff. They did a physical exam where the doctor checked, you know, your glands and all that stuff.
Right. How was all of that?
Good.
Well, if it was bad, he wouldn't say nothing. He'd probably tell the producers, wouldn't he?
No, he'd say something to me.
Well, he might not want to tell you anything if it's frightening news, you know.
I don't think so. So anyway, yeah, that's right. He's going to bypass me and go to the real source, which would be the producers of Drunk History, in case there's something wrong with my glands. We're talking about a general physical here to make sure I'm not going to collapse and die, okay?
No, I understand that, but... All right, so you figure you did good. Now, you're not. Let me ask you some questions, because these are questions that I should ask if you come to me. I could have done the physical, but I know they want you to go to the doctor that they got, right?
Yeah.
Are you an alcoholic?
No, I am not.
All right.
You know that I'm not.
I don't know for sure, but I'm just... Are you an alcoholic?
No.
All right. Do you abuse drugs?
No, I don't. No.
Well, you got to ask the questions, Mr. Henry.
Yes.
Well, I know, but you know me well enough.
No, I don't know you well. I do know you, but these are questions that I would ask standard, okay?
All right.
You don't abuse drugs. Are you a homosexual?
No, I am not.
All right. Do you have any lesions on your penis?
All right. Never mind, okay? We don't have to ask these questions, okay?
These are very important questions to find out the state of your health before you go on this program.
Right, because I don't know if the physical they did was comprehensive.
All right, let's cut out all the questions about whether I have lesions and...
All right, I'm just saying...
Why don't you just add, do I have AIDS?
Do you have AIDS?
No, I don't.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. God.
Well, get a load of you. Wow, man. You know, Phil, if you want, I'll just go ahead and hang the phone up. Okay?
You know, Doc, can I just say something?
What?
Is there some kind of a prosthetic device you can get for your tongue?
Phil, that is uncalled for.
God, man, you shouldn't say that.
No, it's okay. It's all right. I'm used to Phil being cruel.
Phil, it wasn't necessary for you to say something like that to Dr. Sadler. He's been good to you.
I understand that, Doc, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but...
What? Go ahead, say it. You think I talked funny?
Yes, man, you know you do, ever since that lion taming accident.
Boy, talk about getting the information in you. Yes, of course you do, Doc, ever since the lion taming accident.
Well, I want people to know that there is a story behind...
A story behind what? The speech impediment? In other words, you're telling me it's really obvious to everybody. Miss Gray, everyone that I talk to tells me no, it ain't. Now you tell me it is?
By the way, as a doctor, you have the worst grammar in the world.
Okay, anything else wrong? Okay, should I come in and show you what I'm wearing? Should I strip so you can do a cavity search? You sound like the kind of guy, at least tonight you do. And
Whoa. Phil, what is the point of all of this? We told him he sounds fine.
So you told him...
Yeah, he's great.
He sounds all right, Miss Henry.
Yes, Bill, I got a call from Dr. Sadler yesterday because he was feeling insecure the last time he was on the program.
Well...
No, hold on, Dr. Sadler. And he said, how do I... And I said, you sound wonderful. I would hire you to replace James Earl Jones to do the CNN commercial. Go ahead, Dr. Sadler. Do the audition you did for me.
You didn't.
Well, excuse me. Yes, I did.
You understand, there's some people that care about me and want to see me do good and tell me the truth. You've been telling me how I sound weird, and these people told me I sound okay.
Go ahead, do it. This is CNN, the same way James Earl Jones does it.
All right. 2, 3. This is CNN.
See? I would hire him in an instant.
You would, huh?
Yes, I would.
Phil, don't you...
Yeah, Doc, you know, they're right.
So you've had second thoughts, ain't you?
Yes, I have. I've had second thoughts. I think I'm just so full of bitterness and I'm so upset that you've got me over a barrel here with your questions that I've decided to just make fun of you, and I shouldn't.
Well, I can understand that. This is CMM. CMM.
That's exactly right. That's right. Don't you think he'd be good replacing James Earl Jones, Phil?
Yes, he would. Yes, he'd be fantastic.
That is absolutely wonderful. And Dr. Sadler, you know, you've got a second career narrating children's books if you ever stop being a doctor.
Well, I thought about doing that, you know, like Peter and the Wolf.
Yes, that'd be...
That's a good one.
Peter and the Wolf? Yeah, I thought... One day, Peter and the Wolf was walking down the road. Yeah, I think I would be.
Yeah, that'd be great. Peepy and the Wolf, is it, or it's...
No, Peter and the Wolf.
Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, yes, Peter and the Wolf.
Okay, Doc.
Well, I got more questions here. Hold on for a minute. All right, are you allergic to any drugs?
No, I'm not.
Which drugs do you take that you're not allergic to?
I'm not going to tell you what drugs I take.
Are they illegal?
No, they're not. They're prescription.
Oh, okay. Are you now or have you ever been... Oh, I already asked you about a homosexual.
All right, okay, Doc, thank you very much. That was great, and I passed the test, and I think I'm okay, right?
Yeah, you're great. You're in great shape, Phil. Look, in case I get that job at CNN, I'm going to toss my practice over to Dr. Palmer. And when he's not doing his astronomy, he can, you know, take a flashlight, and you can bend over nude, and he can...
Okay, thanks a lot. There is Dr. Jim Sadler. What is it with you people, anyway?
Don't you understand, Miss Emily? You don't want him to have no kind of a complex or anything.
Yeah, just try to get him to feel better about himself.
You know, you can make people feel better about themselves, but not lie to them outright. You're going to have that guy sending tapes to CNN?
Phil, they can tell him, you know what, you're really good, but we've got so many other applicants. And you know as well as I do, they don't respond to half of the applicants. He's going to send his tape there. He'll send it around.
So he sends it around. But what if he gets somebody telling him he sounds like crap?
Well, he's at least has his confidence bolstered to the fact where he can then just, consider the source. You say, this is CNN, and go for that job. You know, I told him that if they hadn't hired Morgan Freeman for March of the Penguins...
Yeah, he would have been fantastic.
You know something? I think Morgan Freeman is narrating far too many things. He's really getting on my nerves.
Yeah, I gotta admit to that. Morgan Freeman, every damn thing having to do with being a president, or the president of another planet...
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's always a president or the president of another planet. I mean, I know we got a black guy for a president now, but God, that's a little bit of overkill.
What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about race.
All right, hold on for a minute. What do you mean it's overkill? Morgan Freeman's doing a lot of voiceover work, huh?
Well, you hear it. He's everywhere. He did the March of the Penguin. He did what was the one? Oh, War of the Worlds. What made whoever think that Morgan Freeman can do narration...
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, I think he's good. I think Morgan Freeman's got a very stentorian delivery.
No, you don't. You're just saying that because he's black.
Yeah, I mean, what is it with you, man?
Hey, take it easy, will you? Say it because he's black. Look, man, all I'm looking for when I hear narration, you want to hear authority, you want to hear drama, you want to hear read. Yeah, one of the great, obvious voiceover guys of all time was the dude that did the NFL, the voice of God, whatever the hell that guy's name was, I forget.
Well, isn't that's a fine how-do-you-do?
I forget his name now. It was, the voice of God who was on NFL films for the longest time, James Earl Jones, Richard Basehart, the ballsy narration? Yeah, those are the guys. I can't think of anybody else right now, but Dr. Sadler ain't one of them, okay? So you guys are going to have to really just take that and pound it, you know?
Well, I didn't say he was. I think we're trying to make him feel better.
Yeah, all right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more on the history of tequila.
Woo!
Famous Phil Henry Show, I'd like to say that I started playing that as bumper music about 2 years before Pulp Fiction came out. All right.
Oh, there's Phil trying to take credit for something else.
That's me. You know, as the man said to me once a long time ago, he said, you know, take credit for whatever you can take credit for. It's a business where people are stealing left and right. Now, did you find it?
Yeah, I'm looking for Voice of God. Is that a guy?
Voice of God? Yeah, that ain't a guy. That's John Facenda. Here, I think I found it. Hold on for a minute. John Facenda was the greatest of them all when it came to narration, especially when it came to the narration of football segments. And this video is no longer available due to a copyright claim by the NFL, which I certainly understand, and that was on the NESN website. So, Jimmy Kelly of NESN, you guys stole... Or as Robert De Niro said in The Untouchables, man steals from me, I'm going to say you stole, not talking about spitting on the sidewalk.
Oh, that's a real good De Niro knot. You know.
Well, I know. It was halfway passable, Phil.
I wasn't trying to do an accurate... I don't do impressions. Anyway.
Yeah, we notice you don't do impressions, Phil.
So? I'm not. It doesn't put me down. I don't care about doing impressions.
Ain't you going to be about like that guy Chicken Little?
Who's Chicken Little?
You talking about that guy that does voices?
You mean Rich Little?
Yeah, Rich Little.
Chicken Little. Boy, that's funny.
You didn't really... You were talking about Rich... Rich Little is one of the finest comics that has ever lived. Don't mess with Rich Little.
I didn't know what his name was.
Yeah, you did. You knew it wasn't Chicken Little, did you?
What? I couldn't remember the name, so I just filled in the blank.
Oh, okay. So if a guy's last name is Little, just go ahead and slide Chicken in there, huh?
We put a Larry.
Larry Little. Anybody know who Larry Little is?
Yeah, I know who Larry Little was. He was an offensive lineman with the Miami Dolphin.
I wouldn't know the name Larry. I wouldn't know Larry Little if he stepped on me.
Well, it would be the last time anybody stepped on you because the guy was huge.
Well, I would well imagine that.
Yeah, we call him Larry Little.
If you call him Larry Little, nobody's going to think of Rich Little. No one's going to think of Rich Little when you talk about Chicken Little. Okay?
You did.
Because you did say the guy, or I did say the guy that does the voice impressions. Anyway, yeah, Rich Little was great. David Fry was great. I don't know if guys do that anymore, man. There used to be a whole slew of comics that did impressions like that. They did, and of course, when I was growing up, the most popular impressions that comics did were all of those old Hollywood guys. Like, they always did the Clark Gable. Every guy that I ever saw on television did a Jimmy Cagney, Edward G. Robinson, Lee Marvin, you know, did some of the contemporary ones. And then they got, you know, a little bit further along, and Rich Little became famous for his George Burns impression. But I tell you, I don't see guys doing that at all.
Well, you know, if it's all the same to you, and I'm glad they don't, because I found it very irritating. And I also found it very unpatriotic. Quite a few of them would do their Richard Nixon impression, and it made me want to put my foot right through their faces. Which I did. The problem being that their faces were on a television screen.
So you probably ruin a lot of television sets.
Yes, in my time, I put my foot through quite a number of them. But it made me feel good, and at the end of the day, that's all that you're looking for, you know.
Yeah, you gotta destroy a TV set.
But I just don't live for television the way you do, and members of your generation. I can take it or leave it.
What do you do, General? Do you read?
I read, I go over different photographic albums that I have. If you talk to Patsy, my wife, she'll tell you that a lot of what I read is pornography, and she cited the stack of the nudie cuties that I have in the garage.
What a nudie cutie?
What's that?
What's a nudie cutie?
These are very harmless magazines that have nudie cuties.
Well, they're not called nudie cuties anymore, General. They're called pornographic. It's called filth. All right?
I don't have any filth. I beg your pardon.
You have a stack of magazines in the garage. Oh, by the way, Jerry Seaman has passed on.
Who?
Just never mind. Jerry Seaman, he was a referee in the National Football League. He died. He was 77 years old. Jerry Seaman passed on, I guess, in the... All right, so...
What are you... Is that a joke?
No, that is not a joke, and we're not going to make any jokes about it. That Jerry was a great referee in the National Football League, and he passed on, and I just saw the news, and I thought I would pass it along to the rest of you, if you're conscious, from the neck up.
Well, Phil, I've lived a long time, but I never heard of him.
That's fine, General. So getting back to the magazines you have in the garage, I'm just talking about a great man, Jerry Seaman, who, devoted his life to the NFL. Now we're talking about your nudie cutie mags.
Well, excuse me, but I gave my life to the United States Army in service of this country.
Yes, you did. I apologize.
So, if I want to look at some, lo-fi spread, if
General, please.
No, Mr. Henry Rodden. If I want to look at a lo-fi spread or some early morning dew, my friend, you can better believe all you need to do is get out of the way.
All right. So, anyway, your wife, Patsy, found the magazines.
She found the magazines. And it had, a lot of it was bottomless.
That's more than a nudie cutie, man,
What do you know about the nudie cuties?
Because we were showing some of them on the Saturday Night Movie here. You can find them in the Internet Archives. They've got all of those early nudie cuties. That's what they called them, nudie cuties, before they had real hardcore. I mean, I guess they've had hardcore porn for forever.
Well, yes, the vintage pornography is very graphic. The nudie cuties, as I understand, was the very first attempt to show these films in movie theaters. Do you understand the difference?
Well, where was they showing them before?
They were showing them on sheets, filthy sheets, that some man and his friends hung from a garage door. And when the wives were out of town, he'd invite his buddies over. And they'd look at these filthy films that they would show on a projection screen made out of some dirty stained sheet and drink their... I don't even...
Every time somebody on this show gets into a story, it always becomes personal,
What do you mean?
I mean, like Dr. Sadler. He was going to talk about something, and then suddenly he's talking about his mother, and then the next thing you know, he hates her. You're talking about these nudie cuties, and the next thing you know, you can't even get through it because obviously it reminds you of something.
Well, maybe it does. Maybe it reminds me of the first 2 years I was married to Frank. All right?
Was he watching that stuff?
Frank and his friends, they almost ruined our marriage because I would walk in on these guys, and they had some of the most unbelievably foul pornography. That Frank had a projector, and he had friends who had these big film houses. And he would have his buddies over. They'd be downstairs in the basement, and they're watching. I can't even describe it. But I will tell you this. Don't ever doubt the existence of the Donkey Show.
Wow.
That's right. I'm not going to go into it.
All right. Well, Margaret, I'm glad you said that because I did doubt the existence of the Donkey Show, and I'd spoken to a few, young Navy sailors and Marines that claimed they'd seen it, and I told them that they were liars, and they were a disgrace to the flag.
Well, you owe some sailors and some Marines an apology then.
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, whether it existed or not, the fact that Frank had this on film.
No, he didn't have it on film. I'm sorry. Did I lead you to believe? No, I did. And I'll tell you why. I wrote my father and I said, do you have any more of those? Because Frank wants it for his birthday. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
No, what are you laughing at?
So Frank didn't have any films of the Donkey Show. You wrote your dad and got one and gave it to Frank for his birthday.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, what are you yelling at?
Well, why is he yelling? Excuse me, I lost my voice.
I'm yelling because that's the goofiest story that I've ever heard in my life. You're talking about all this horrible porn that Frank had, but when it came to his birthday, you gave him a Donkey Show film that you got from your father.
Phil, I think it's very cruel of you to laugh like that.
I'm sorry. Are you crazy? That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. You've come out with some funny ones, Margaret. That tops the list.
Excuse me.
Oh, here she goes.
Yes, here she goes.
You gonna cry?
No, I'm not gonna cry. I gotta squeeze one off.
That's what happens when Margaret gets sad. She's got to go to the bathroom and
pinch one off.
Right. All right.
Well, you know, Phil, it's a terrible thing to realize that while you're telling a story, suddenly you're remembering that your husband didn't have the donkey film. My voice is cracking.
It's all right.
It's a terrible thing to realize that your husband didn't have the donkey film.
You all right? Get some water. Give the general some water, will you?
Want some water, General?
I think so, yes.
Yes, I think I know what you're saying, General. It is a terrible thing to realize it wasn't your husband who had the donkey film, it was your father.
That's exactly right.
I always knew Daddy had those.
Oh, okay, great. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. We also have a checklist of things for Thanksgiving that I believe Margaret's going to go through. Bobby Dooley, or sorry, just Margaret, okay, she's going to be giving us the checklist of turkey basters and other things you may need for Thanksgiving. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got a problem with the music machine there, bud.
Yeah, not queuing up.
Well, that's technical talk for it ain't queuing up.
Well, what does that mean? Let people know.
It's not starting, okay? So anyway, we'll fix it. Welcome back to the program, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Your question, bud, about donkey shows, I don't know anything about them. I've never seen one. I would not want to see one. I think anybody that would see one and enjoy it, there's something wrong with them. I think it's sadistic. I think you're witnessing the degrading of a human being as well as animal abuse. I think it is the most vile of displays. And I don't even know, Margaret, you say it exists. Okay, great.
Well, my father had a film. He said that's what it was, so...
And your father needs help if your dad enjoys watching that.
I don't think he watched it. I think he collected this stuff.
Why?
Well, just, I don't know. Maybe he was sick and twisted.
I mean, you have said your father was a little off.
A little? Woo!
Okay, so in any event, does that answer your question, bud?
Well, yeah, I don't want to watch one now.
If you ever wanted to watch one, I want to find out about it so I can fire you. How about that, okay? And have you put in jail at the same time, if I can.
Yeah, put me in jail for it.
If I ever find out that any of you, you understand me?
Yeah.
Watching that kind of garbage, I don't want you around me. And if I could put you in jail, I would. I think it's almost on the level with child pornography, that kind of stuff. All right? Is that,
Well, Phil, I don't disagree, but I thought you were talking about something else entirely.
What did you think I was talking about?
I thought it was like a petting zoo or something.
Well, in a manner of speaking,
never mind. All right, the history of tequila. Now, so anyway, I had this physical exam today for drunk history, and it went swimmingly, or so I'm told, and that's so I can go on camera and take a few shots of tequila and, talk about the historical topic that I have so chosen. And, you know, as I mentioned to you, they gave me three to choose from. But I started, as I was going through the story that I want to do the narrative on for the show, I began to start thinking about tequila and its history and exactly where it's from. I'm not going to do a whole big, song and a dance, but it's a relatively recent, of recent origin the way that the Europeans have made it. But the biggest news of all, out of all this stuff, and I'm hoping that I'm not reading some advertising site here that is being paid to, it says tequilaplant.com. The guy that began making tequila way back when?
Yes.
You know what his name was?
You're not going to say Jose Cuervo.
That's exactly who it was.
Jose Cuervo. And you hate that stuff.
Jose Cuervo.
Well, is that his tequila?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I do know that somebody, that's his name, and someone slapped his name on a bottle of tequila.
And they tell me that there is a Jose Cuervo tequila that is now made that's actually pretty damn good. I mean, it's considered to be among some reviewers one of the top 10 tequilas there are. I guess I owe myself a tasting of Jose Cuervo because I haven't touched that stuff in years. I've always found Jose Cuervo tequila to be low-grade mung. But it was a guy named Jose Cuervo in 1758 who got the go-ahead from the King of Spain.
Now, why did you have to get the go-ahead? Is it because of the Spanish land grants?
Yeah, there was a Spanish land grant in Mexico that the Spanish royalty gave you if you showed yourself to be, if you showed yourself to be of particular value to the king and crown, to your country, you were an explorer, you were a missionary, you were someone that benefited Spain in terms of its colonization, you would be granted a piece of land. And these Spanish land grants, of course, extended all the way out up into the state of California. So wherever you live, if those of you who live in California and other places that were that was at one time administered by the Spanish, like Florida and I think Louisiana, you could actually look up and it should have the state that you live in should actually still have these records. You can look up the Spanish, the name of the individual on the land grant from Spain. So, like, you know, my house at the beach, it was part of some land grant that some Spanish guy had.
Well, yeah, sure. Maybe he didn't want it, you know.
Yeah, that probably land he didn't even want.
Yeah, okay, well, all right. So wherever my house is, right there, you know, about a block from the sand, some Spanish guy didn't want it. So.
Well, it's possible. It's just who are the Indians that lived around here?
The Chumash.
The what?
What is a Chumash? Is that the...
Those are the Indians that lived here.
I'm not familiar with those.
What about like a...
Well, what about Apaches and things like that? Didn't you have Indians out here that were... What do you mean, didn't we have Indians out here that were what? Phil, don't start getting upset. I just want to know if California had Indians, you know?
Yeah, like my God. What about Apache? Oh, what's the other one called?
Yeah, like Cherokee.
Cherokee and Apache and those guys were in other parts of the country, man. What are you talking about? Why isn't the camera on my ugly mug?
Sorry.
You know, I don't know what you're talking. What are you referencing exactly? Cherokee and Apache. Are you talking about the Indians that were in other parts of the country? For instance, you know, Arizona, places like that.
No, here in California, didn't they have real Indians?
Yes, they did.
Well, he's saying they were called a what?
Chumash.
Big wow.
Did they have teepees?
Why do they got to have teepees?
Well, I mean, what did they have?
I think they had their own kind of huts. I think the Chumash huts were made of mud and...
Mud?
Look at Margaret, if I may. The teepee, which is an animal skin habitat, was created by the plains-dwelling natives because there weren't a whole lot of trees around, and there wasn't a whole lot of anything around to build something with, so they often would just take a few sticks and stretch an animal skin across it. That was the teepee, and it was particularly useful for the nomadic Indians, you know, hunting-gathering natives, okay?
Well, get a load of you. Aren't you Mr. Anthropologist? I don't buy it, Phil. I think that the Indians in California should have had something resembling an icon that's familiar to the European. Now, did they have teepees or didn't they?
I don't think so. So why, if they didn't have teepees, big deal.
Well, I think this mud hut thing...
Yeah, the mud hut, Phil, I think degrades the image of the native.
I think you guys sound stupid. I don't think you sound like you know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, Dr. Leakey, but I'm not up on all of this.
Well, then, you know, allow me. The Indians in California were Chumash. You're talking about Hopi in the Southwest, the Apache. There were others, but that was what we had here, okay?
Is that why it says Chumash Indian Gaming up the street?
Yes, that would be why.
Oh.
There you go. See, General. General, I almost called you Dr. Sadler.
You're telling me that I talk as if I took... You're telling me I talk as if I took the coupling hitch from a railroad train in my mouth? In my mouth?
Oh, do you talk much?
Yeah, you do, man. So in any event, that was that. And so the land grants that the Spanish had went to whoever they said could have one. And one of these guys was this Jose Cuervo, who eventually took this Magui plant and also the agave and began to create what we now know today as tequila. Now, Cortez, one of the early Spaniard explorers, wrote, or I guess when he went back to Spain, he had an audience with the king, and he told the king about this tequila, and he raved about it. He said, "That stuff, man,
woo!" He didn't say that.
No, but I mean, he, you know, he probably just...
What, he slammed some shots with the king?
Probably. "Your Royal Highness, you have got to have this." And so, you know, the king took a few knocks of that and went, "By God, you've got it." And he said, "Go ahead and make some, man." So that's how that came about. And from that august beginning, send it all the way on down through the centuries, and you've got Phil Hendry sitting there doing a Saturday night bonus show, sucking that slop down. All right. By the way, speaking of the weekend, Joe Dickhead and the Professor, if tonight's game holds up, will have gone 5-8. Real, real bad, man. Not good at all.
Well, those guys, they flipped the coin. They're going on the... I thought they were going to go on literacy.
They were going to do a literacy thing, and I guess it was too much work, so they finally just flipped a coin. Based upon coin flips, they went 5-8 this weekend. I will say they had the guts to call, or the coin had the guts to call the Chargers over the Colts. Major upset.
That's their upset special.
Yeah, I know it was their upset special, which they let everybody know that was the upset special. So there's another piece of change they don't make.